Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Hei, and we're going to be starting on the second line, and we're quoting the Mishnah, where the Mishnah tells us, Upamok Shibi Ozna, remind ourselves that yesterday we were learning what a woman is allowed to go out with on Shabbos. And one of those things was the moch shiba ozna. This is like a cotton ball that you put in your ear or something soft. The moch, we pointed out many times previously, is anything soft. So this cotton that she puts in her ear, or whatever material it's actually made of, she puts in her ear, is to go and collect any secretions. So she has an external otitis. She has some sort of a watery ear, so it can collect the wax or the secretions that are coming out of her ear. That's allowed. Tani Rami Bar Yechezko, he qualifies this and he says, V'husha kashu b'yozna, it must be tightly bound. Otherwise, we're concerned that it's going to come out and she's going to carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. Likewise, the Mishnah is quoted, U'b'mokshu b'sandal, she can go out with this soft padding inside her sandal, inside her sandal. So again, Tani Rami Bar Yechezko, he also qualifies this and he says, V'husha kashu lo b'sandal, because, again, it has to be tightly tied into her sandal so it doesn't fall out, because if it falls out, she may come to pick it up and carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. That's a simple way to understand this. The nafka mina would be that if it's put inside a shoe as opposed to an open sandal, so then there is no concern it's going to fall out. And according to Rami Bar Yechezko, in this situation, it wouldn't have to be tied in because it's only in a sandal that could fall out that you have a concern. Others explain it a little bit differently. I saw this in the name of the Meiri, that it says that we're talking here, even if it's inside her shoe, because the concern is, for whatever the reason, it's uncomfortable, for whatever the reason, she may come to take it out and forget that it's Shabbos and carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. And that's why if it's tied in, it will remind her. And therefore, this doesn't make any difference whether it's in an open-toed type of a sandal or a closed type of a shoe. Either way, unless it's tied in as a reminder, you shouldn't come to forget and take it out, it's not allowed because she may come to forget and carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. Then it said likewise, she can go out with some sort of like a tampon, some sort of a soft material that's to collect the blood. Remember we said in the Mishnah that Rashi says it's because she wants that there to not have her clothing be stained, and Tosfos had qualified and said no, it's really she doesn't want the blood to go on her body and it would cause her tsar. In any event, she's allowed to go out with this on Shabbos. So Sava Rami Rechama, Rami Rechama says, Lameimar, he wants to suggest that also here, V'huk Yeshua law, Ben Yachusel. So here it also has to be, like we said with the cotton in her ear or in the cotton in her foot, that it has to be tied on tightly, because otherwise maybe it's going to come out and she'll carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. So that's what Rami Rechama thought. But Amar Rava, Rava told him, no. Apple piece ain't no kosher here, and with this tampon, with this moch inside of her, so it doesn't have to be tied on. Why? Even alpha pisha and kosher law, even the mice, it's disgusting. Lo asyo le asuye. Even if it falls out, she's not going to carry a dalet amos b'yushus harabim because it's disgusting, and therefore there's no concern that she'll pick it up and carry a dalet amos b'yushus harabim, and that's why it doesn't have to be tied in. By mine, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following shalat from Rabbi Abba. What about osolo base yad mahu, if he makes for it some sort of a handle? For example, you can have a attachment over here to the tampon, which you hold it by the attachment, you're not holding it by the actual tampon itself, and therefore, maybe this wouldn't be considered disgusting. If this would be considered disgusting, so then maybe there would be a concern that you come to carry it dalet amos b'yushus harabim. As Rashi says over here, Rashi is all the way up at the top, for the third line from the top. Also lo beis yad, lamog shebosu mokum, for this tampon that she has in that place, in the genital area. So he's asking, ma'u lemisre, do we say that this now would be osur? Dilma shokla, because here it's not disgusting, maybe she'll come to take it out. Umimata lo biyadayim, and therefore she'll carry it in her hands to lo mos, because it's not disgusting. Also, she's holding it on the handle, she's holding it on the yad, so it won't be disgusting. So that's his question. In this situation, maybe she would be not allowed if it has the base yad. So Rav Yirmiyah asked this question over here to Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba responded, Omalei mutter. No, that's not a problem. It's still considered something that is not pleasant, and nobody's going to go and carry this even with the base yad. No concern. Again, the rabbis only would go there on a dover shriach, on something that was likely. And while there may be an individual that might have touched this, but most people would not. Therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera. Likewise, it and Rami, by the same statement made in the base medrash, Amar Reb Nachum Bar Oshaya, Amar Reb Yochanan, Oslo Beis Yad, Mutter. He said, Beferish, if you make the Beis Yad, it doesn't change it around. It's still disgusting enough that we don't be concerned that she'll come to carry dalet amos b'yushus harabim. Now, the Gemara gives us the Ma'aseh Shehoyim. Reb Yochanan, Nofak, Behu, Lebei Medrosh. Rashi explains over here, what are we talking about? He went out, b'moshe ba'ozno, he went out with the cotton in his ear. Why? Shaya Zalkin was an older person. He had a lot of secretions in his ear. He had a lot of wax. He had a lot of oils coming out. Whatever it was, he had a lot of tsoa from his ozen. And therefore, he went out on Shabbos with the wax in his ear. However, the chalukin alav chaveriv, his friends, his colleagues, did not approve of this. Rashi explains, "Nipnei shlo yakasha biyosno, it wasn't tied on." And v'hu yotzei bolu shusarabim, he was going after the shusarabim, and therefore his friend said, "Listen, it may come out, and you'll carry it down l'amos b'shusarabim. If it's not tied in, that's what we said previously." He disagreed. The chalukin alav chaveriv, but his friends argued with him. However, similarly, Rav Yannai nafak b'hu l'karmelis. Now, this Rashi explains his first pshat over here, that Rav Yochanan went out with this on Shabbos, even to Rishus HaRabim, and some of his colleagues, Chalukin Ol'chaverov. Rav Yannai nafak b'hu l'karmelis. He went out to a karmelis, which is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's only an Isidu Rabbanan to carry there. The Chalukin Ol'chaverov called Doro. Everybody was upset with Rav Yannai. So the Mefarshim was saying, what's the difference? Why were only some of the people upset with Rav Yochanan and everybody was upset with Rav Yannai? Because Rav Yochanan had it pushed in very hard, but it wasn't tied in. And therefore, he felt it was okay. Nope. And others said, no, pushed in very hard. If it's Mahudok, it's not Makusha, but Rav Yochanan felt that was good, and his colleagues felt that was not good. But Rav Yannai went out with it at all tightly put in, and certainly not tied. And therefore, everybody was objecting to Rav Yannai. In any event, Gemara now says, "V'otani Rami Bar Yecheskel, v'hu shikar shelo biyosda." How could either of them do this, Rav Yannai or Rav Yochanan? How could they go out with it not tied? We learned in our Mishnah, and Rami Bar Yecheskel qualified this that it had to be tied. So Gemara says, "Lo kasha, it's not a problem. It depends whether it was pushed in or not." Ho de mahadek, ho de lo mahadek. Rav Yochanan said, "It doesn't have to be tied. If you just push it in very tightly, that's good enough. If you don't push it in tightly, I agree with him." And that's the explanation for the distinction over here. Now, let's look inside in the Rashi, Hod Mahadik. So it says, the Rav Yochanan here tosev ba'ozno yofi. He pushed it into his ear very well, or Mahadik, and it was tightly pushed in below Boig Shirin. He felt it didn't require any type of tying. But Rami Bar Yecheskel below Mahadik, and Rami Yecheskel didn't push it in at all. That's why I mentioned before, his all the colleagues were against him. Now, that's the first pshat that Rashi has. Then Rashi brings down the Lishna Achrina, Mitamidei Rabbeinu Halevi. That is as follows. The pshat from his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Halevi, is as follows. Rav Yochanan kosher habe. Rav Yochanan, in fact, tied it. Ubeis medrashu somach lebeiso. And he wasn't going out to Rishus HaRabim. He went to the Beis Medrash, which is right next to his house. But lo ha'yisa Rishus HaRabim afsekis. And it wasn't Rishus HaRabim. Aye, then what's the problem over here? Viki kosher, next Rashi, miya afil Rishus HaRabim. If it's tied, you can even go out to Rishus HaRabim. But Rav Yochanan was saying no. Why did he only go out to Beis Medrash? And this, according to this version, Rav Yochanan was stricter. Mishani, the Rav Yochanan kashuv lo mahadik hakesha. He had tied it, but he didn't tie it very well. That's why he wouldn't go out to the Shusar Rabin. And the others who disagreed with him said, no, as long as it's tied, even if it's not tied well, you go out to the Shusar Rabin. So according to the second version, Rav Yochanan is actually the more machmir one. But Rashi says, "V'loshen Mishum Yushum." He said he likes the first pshat better. Okay, Mark continues and quotes the Mishnah where it says, "Bepilpel or begalgel or begarger melech." You can go out with these peppercorns or with salt in your mouth. Why would you go out with either of them? So the pilpel, the peppers, are l'reach ha-peh. That's for a woman who has bad breath. So she would put these peppers in, like say before Shabbos, and that's allowed either because it's not then a concern. It looks like it's medicinal, or because it's not a concern, like she's looking to carry it out when she puts it in bedavka on Shabbos. So the pilpel, the purpose was for the reach ha-peh to take care of halitosis, take care of bad breath, and the Galgal Melech, or the Gargar Melech, the salt was the Durshini. What's this Durshini? So Rashi says, L'choli Ashinayin, for some sort of a sickness of the teeth. So a toothache. So they would wear this, they would put this salt in the mouth, the astringency of the salt, whatever, would make the wound better. On the side, he brings out from the Aruch that this word Durshini is really the Durshini, for the rows of the teeth. In other words, it was for, again, a toothache. Then it said in the Mishnah, and with other things as well, any other things that she puts into her mouth on Erev Shabbos, she's allowed to go out with. What are some examples? So this could be either Zan Gevilo, which Rashi says is ginger, Inami Dartsuna, Rashi says Dartsuna is kinamon, cinnamon. So these things also serve the same purpose, and they're allowed to go out with them on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos. You put them in on Erev Shabbos, you go out with them on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, Shein Toseves, you're allowed to go out with a false tooth, or we have the gears over here that it's two separate things, Shein Shel Zov, or a golden tooth. Now, Rebbe is matir. Rebbe says you can, and the Chacham are osur and say you can't. So here we have that machlokas I alluded to when we did the Mishnah. Omer Zera, Zera says lo shanu elo shel zov. The only one that you can't go out with is the golden tooth. Why? Rashi explains the Chachamim osrim ella shel zov shemishuna b'mara mishar shinayim, because the golden one is different than all the others. The Dilma mivazulah, the other women are going to say you look very funny and silly. The shachalosh is going to take the gold tooth out biyada with her hand umatya and just kind of throw it away. It's gold. And she's going to carry it down the rabbi, so she's a rabbi. So that's why when the Rav Zera says the rabbis only said over here that they're arguing on the gold tooth. The chacham who disagree with Rav Meir or with Rebbe only disagree with the gold tooth. Avol b'shel kesef, if it's a silver tooth, so divrei kol mutar. Everybody says it's okay, as Rashi points out. Shadom l'shar shinayim, the silver tooth is no different really in the appearance of the other teeth, and divrei kol mutar. Everybody says it's okay because there's no concern that the other women are going to laugh at her and say your teeth look funny, and she'll take it out. That's Lashon Rabosai. That's Rashi says. I heard this pshat from my Rabban, but I prefer personally the following pshat. The linear appears to me. Taima de shel zov. The reason for the zov is mishum de chashiva. It's expensive. But also lachvu, she's going to show it to people. Look what I have—a gold tooth—and therefore she may come to carry dalet amos and lekach asur because it's chashiv. Avo shel kesef, a silver tooth, lo chashiva. It's not that expensive. She's not going to show it to everybody. But lo asur laachve, she's not going to show it to people. Now, Rashi then says, I have problems with my Rebbe's pshat, and he goes through it. I ain't showing the rest of the Rashi what his problem was with his Rebbe's pshat, why he says, Belinero appears to me, this is the better pshat. Okay, in any event, we'll go back to Gemara. Tani Nami Hoch, we have a rice in support of what we just said. Bishol Kesef, if it's a silver tooth, then Divri, I call Mut. Everybody says you go out with a silver tooth because either it's not so choshev and she won't take it out, or it's not so different and she won't come to show it to other people. However, Vishel Zohar, if you're dealing with a gold tooth, Rebbe's Mater, he says, even in this situation, we're not concerned that other people will make fun of her, because if they make fun of her, that her tooth looks funny, well, it's certainly going to look a lot funnier if she takes it out. Then she's going to have a hole, a gap over there. Rashi says, the Lochai is Dumo Shalfa. He's not at all concerned that she's going to take it out, because it would be worse if she takes it out. They may laugh at her gold tooth, they're certainly going to laugh more at a gap in her teeth. So Rebbe says it's okay in that situation. The Chacham Osrim, the Chacham say no, that in this situation, either because it's Choshev or because it's Mishuna, there's a concern. Okay. Amar Abaye, Abaye now says, this opinion of Rebbe, the Rabbi Eliezer, an opinion that we had of Rabbi Eliezer earlier, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, another opinion we had from Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Kulu Sirlu, they all hold the same basic rule, and that is the Chomide, the Mignaya Bey, anything that's going to cause the woman embarrassment, it's going to be a Gnai for her to be seen, if she does something, so therefore, lo osu lechvuyi, she's not going to go and do it. She's not going to take it out and show it to anybody else and forget and carry it down the Amasur Shazrabim because it's a Gnai. People won't do something that's a Gnai. So all three of these, Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Shimon Elazar all say the same principle. Rebbe, Hodi Amar, that's Rebbe just said right now, that she's not going to take out her gold tooth because then she'll have a gap tooth over here and that would even be worse. So clearly, if something is going to make her look worse, we don't have to make a gezerah that she may come take it out, show it, and carry it. That's Rebbe. Where do we find Rebbe Eliezer that we had previously? The Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer poter bekoveles. Remember, the koveles was this little packet of spices that she wears around her neck to remove the bad aroma from her body, to mask the bad aroma of her body. And Tzluchishel palyoton was the same thing. There's some sort of a fragrant balsam that she would wear around her neck. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you're allowed to go that. The poter here, Rashi reminds us, he holds that it's mutu l'chatchila. This was an example where he said it's poter, as opposed to somebody who said that it's also, but he holds it's actually mutu l'chatchila. And this is because he holds again the same thing. If she removes it, then she's going to have her foul odor, and she doesn't want that. So the last thing she's going to do is remove this and carry it, or show it to other people and carry it down lamas and shusarab. Oh, that's the same thing. The komi did the mignaya be lo asir lechvuye. Anything that's going to cause actually her to become embarrassed or to be worse, she's not going to do something that's going to put her in that situation. Oh, that's the second. The third one is Rav Shimon Elazar. What is that? The Tanya. Klalam Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar said a general rule. Kol shehu lematim enetzvacha. Anything that's underneath her hairnet, underneath this hat that she wears, yotzuba, she's allowed to go out with it because there's no way she's going to take it off because either she's going to reveal her hair, which is going to make her embarrassed, or the svacha is to make her look pretty, and she's not going to take it off. So anything underneath that, there's no concern. She's going to come to take it off and show it to anybody else. But lamalim esvacha, if it's above that, well, she's going to leave the svacha on and can take the other thing off. And Yotzeba, she can't go out with that because that there is a concern that she may come to take it off and show it to other people and carry it down the ramas in the shusaradim. So again, here's the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says the same thing. If it's going to put her in a bad light, if it's going to make her seen in a negative way, so therefore there is no concern that she'll go and take it off because it would make her look bad, and therefore there's no concern she'll take it off and carry it down the ramas in the shusaradim. So all three of these opinions, again, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, all hold this principle of something that makes her look bad, we don't have to make a gzera that she'll come to carry it down the ramas in the shusaradim because she won't get to a situation where she looks bad. Next Mishnah. Yotza b'sela shal hatzinis. A person is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a coin that's al hatzinis. The Gemara is going to tell us al hatzinis is like a decubitus ulcer, or like a wound that you have on the heel of your foot. And this sela will be somehow protective of the wound, either through a physical or some sort of a metaphysical mechanism in protecting the wound on the foot. Come on, we'll explain what this is. Then it says, habanos haktanos, young girls, yotzos bechutin, they're allowed to go out with these threads. Right now, the first pshat that Rashi has, the preferred pshat that Rashi has, is that this is through the ears. And this is afilu bekismin shibos dam, and even with these little splinters, little pieces of wood that go through the ears. Rashi explains over here that it was the nature in the Rashi Dibur Maskel Habonos Haktanos on the very first end of the very first line of the white lines of Rashi, Sheminakvos Osnayim, they would go pierce their ears when they were young kids. They know Sim Zomim Achi Gadlu, but they didn't have enough money for whatever the reason. They didn't put earrings in there, but they wanted to make sure that the pierced ear didn't open up. So therefore, Vinosim Chut, and they would put some sort of threads, Oksamim, or little pieces of wood in the pierced ears, bosnehem, shlo yistamu, that they shouldn't close up. I think the practice is that when they go pierce the little kids' ears, so they have training earrings that they leave in there to make sure that it doesn't get plugged up. And shlo yistamu, bosnehem, he brings down, in the name of his Rebbe, Levia, Rebbeinu Levi. Okay, now, this is what the Mishnah tells us, that the young girls are allowed to go out with this. Rashi has another pshat that says it's talking about it interwoven in their hairs, but he doesn't like that pshat for various reasons. And you can see this in the third line in Rashi. He says, Dibra Maskel Vafilu. And he says, Ruvusakomar. The Afa gav the love tachshit noihu. Even though this isn't considered a tachshit and a beautification, nevertheless, Urcha Bahochi, this is the normal way for the girls to go out with this splinter in the ear to prevent the ear from closing up, below Masuyu. And it's not considered a Masuyu in this situation. Then he says, there's another pshat. The Yesh Mefarshim Chutin Shekolaz Ben Sarah, that he says that there's the another opinion is that these threads over here were in their hair, not their ears. And we said previously that Srinon Ligadola Beresh Pirkin, we said that an older girl can't go out because she may come to untie it because she has to go to a mikvah. Hos Mishum Deshchicha Behutvila, they regularly went to the mikvah, and therefore she would maybe untie it, and therefore she would carry it down to Shazraman. But that doesn't apply to Ketana. Avu Ketana is Lo Shchicha Behutvila Shari. He says, the Ketanas that don't go to the mikvah, therefore they would be allowed to wear it in the hair. That's the other pshat that he had, the Seish Meforshim, but he says, I like the first pshat much better. Lo Shurishon Hagun Mizeh. Number one, Chodo, the Ketanos Nami Tzvichos Tvila Letumas Magla. He says, the young girls also had a lot of reasons to go to the mikvah. It's not only bodily secretions, a zov or a zov or a nida, but just because of touching a sheretz, mishom taharos, because they were constantly dealing with taharos. The af nidos nami shlichos bahu. He says likewise, nidos also could occur in a young girl. He brings down a mice from the more nida that a girl and a mother both had to go to the mikvah. They put the little girl in first. And furthermore, he says, look at the wording over here. It says afilu bekismin. That implies over here that the kismin is the same as the threads. And it says afilu kismin biosneim. So mustama, it must be that the threads are also in the ears and not talking about the threads in the hair and the kismin in the ears. Therefore, he prefers the first shot. Okay. The Mishnah continues and says, the Arovios Yotzos Ruulos, the women, Arovios means the Jewish women, Noshim Yisraelios Rashi says, Sheba Arov, that live in the Arab countries. So they're allowed to go out with something called Ruulos. This is a burqa. Look in Rashi, Dibra Maskel Yotzos Ruulos. He says, Derech Arovios, it was the nature of the women in those countries, Lios Mutafos Roshan, their head would be covered up, Upneim, and their face would be covered up, Chutzmanayim, they had a little slit for the eyes, like a burqa. And this is called Aravi Reulos. It's called Beloshan Aravi Reulos. And that's this burqa. So they're allowed to go out with this on Shabbos as well. Likewise, Umodios, the women who lived in Modai. So Rashi says this is the Jewish women who lived in Modai, could go out Perufos. What is Perufos? So Rashi says over here, Shema Atvos Batalis, they would wear a talis. A talis means a garment. It doesn't mean like we call a talis. And they would wrap this cloak around their shoulders, let's say, Pitola Ritsua Bisvasa. They would go and have a strap or a string on one side, And on the other side, with svas hashenis, korchen evin or egos. And on the other side, they have like a button that would be like a stone or a walnut that would wrap the string around this, and this way connect the two sides of the cloak so it wouldn't fall off. And therefore, they natalis nofel milah, and this would be allowed to go and wrap it around this walnut or this stone. And that's called modios perufos. Now, the Mishnah tells us, in fact, the whole adam, everybody could go out with these types of garments. It's not a problem. The rabbi specifically gave the common occurrence, and that's why it mentions these specific cases, but anybody can go out with it. Then it says, porefus, they can go and use this button over here. Alo evin, it could be a stone. Alo egus, it could be a walnut. Alo matbeya, it could even be a coin. However, ubavach lo tifrof lechatchila b'Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do this lechatchila on Shabbos. Now, obviously, this is contradictory. We just said you're allowed to do this, and then it says you're not allowed to do this lechatchila. So the Gemara will explain this last thing is only talking about the matbeya. Only the matbeya can't be used lechatchila on Shabbos, but if you were designated beforehand, or if you did it on Erev Shabbos, so then it would be allowed. The Gemara will explain this. Fine, the Gemara starts off and says, mait sinis. What exactly is this sinis over here that we said you can put the coin on this wound? So the Gemara says, bas ara, as Rashi points out, is a makashi tachas pierces a regal, it's a wound underneath the heel, the kosher basel lufu, and they would tie this coin to it to be protected. The Gemara says, umaish no sella, why bedafka coin? Elam, if you're going to tell me, call me the akusha malila, if you're going to tell me that it's just something hard to physically protect the wound from all the thorns and thistles and nails that you might step on. So then, why bedafka need a coin? Le'avad lechasmi, you could use any sort of a shard of pottery that would be hard and protective as well. So says, you're right, that's not it. El mishum shuchsa, it's because of the shuchsa. Rashi says shuchsa is lechluchas, it's some sort of secretion that comes off of the coin, and therefore, that's why you bedafka need a coin. So Gemara says, why you need a coin? Le'avad le'tasa, take a piece of metal. Take any sort of a strip of metal, that would function the same purpose. Gemara says, you're right, that's not it. El mishum tsurasa, there's a metaphysical benefit to having a coin. Somehow the image is protective. Gemara says, if that's the case, you need the image, le'avad le'pulsa, so go take a piece of wood and draw some sort of a marking into it to make it into an image, and it will have this benefit. So why bedafka coin? So Amar Abaye says, you see from here, Shema Mina, Kulu, Malan Law. You really need all three. And therefore, you need to have over here the image aspect of it. You need to have the metal secretion that comes off from the metal, and you also need to have something hard. Therefore, you need all three. Then it says, the girls, we said, could go out with the chutin. So Avu Dishmuel didn't allow his daughters to do this. Avu Dishmuel, why is it called Avu Dishmuel? So it's a very interesting Ben Yoda that says that Shmuel was once far away from his house, away on a trip. So Avu Dishmuel was far away from his house on a trip, and a shade came to him and told him that tonight is a schooler for your wife to give birth to a great son. So he said the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he went back there and was with his wife, and then he said the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and went back to the place where he was originally. And lo and behold, his wife became pregnant, and his son Shmuel was born. But he was very far away, and people made fun and said, he's not really the father. So throughout the Gemara, we always call him Avur de Shmuel to get rid of that leitzanus that people might have thought that Rechman al-Lisan, that Shmuel's father, wasn't really Shmuel's father. And anyway, Avur de Shmuel had to practice three things he did for his daughters. Number one, lo shavik lu lebante denofki b'chutin. He didn't allow his daughters to go out with this string through their ears. Why not? We'll see in a moment. Lo shavik lu ganiyon gabi yadodi. He didn't allow his daughters, when they were young, to sleep in the same bed together. And number three, Vavilu Mikvos Biomini, son, and Bedafka made them go and be Tovelos in a mikvah in the days of Nisan rather than in the Euphrates, in the Pras. And also, that was in the summer months in Nisan, Umatse, he made mats for them to step on and allowed them to go into the Euphrates, into the Pras, into the mikvah, Biyomi Tishrei, during the winter season. And Rashi explains the last one. The first one we'll explain in the Gemara. Here, the Gemara doesn't explain the Matse, why he went out with these mats. So Rashi explains over here, Shetovlos Bifras, they would go and immerse themselves in the mikvah in Tishrei, in the Euphrates, in the Pras. And there was a lot of mud at the bottom of this. Umneatit, Shloyechatzitza, because the concern was that their feet would be in the mud, and the mud would be a chatzitza between the waters and their feet. No sasamafet sachazulem. You put these mats that they would step on, and therefore they weren't in the mud, and therefore there was no concern of a chatzitza. So these three things he didn't let his daughters do. What are these three things? Why? So the Gemara says, Lo shavik lu yotzes b'chutin. Why didn't they let them go out with the strings in their ears? We learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, habanos yotzes b'chutin. The girls are allowed to go out with these chutin, so why didn't he let his daughters do this? Gemara says, Bante Davu de Shmuel, Ditzivonin Havu. They went out with colored threads or strings in their ears, and they would show them possibly to other people, and he was concerned, so therefore he didn't let them go out with it. That's number one. Number two, Lo Shavik Lu Ginion, Gabi Adode. As Rashi says over here, he didn't let them sleep Lishon, Zu, Eitzel, Zu, Ba'odom, Mesulos. When they were young girls, he didn't let them sleep next to each other. So Gemara wants to suggest, Lema, Messiah, Lele, Rav Huna. Maybe this is in accord with what Rav Huna said. What did Rav Huna say? Dem Rav Huna, Noshim, Hamasololo, Zu, Bezu, Psulos, Lekuna. These girls that are, quote, playing with each other, it's inappropriate activity and behavior. And when they were together in the bed, Rahman Lislan, it could lead to this type of inappropriate behavior. So Rav Huna said that these girls are psulos lakuna. Rashi says it means the kohen gadol. They can't marry kohen gadol because kohen gadol has to marry a basula and has to be a basula shleima. And even though he says there's no kohen gadol in the time of Abu Dishmuel, nevertheless, this is a derech znus and it's considered inappropriate behavior. And Tosos adds on to this and says this would even be for a regular kohen, according to Rav Huna, this would be considered in some way a zona. And a regular kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. So maybe that's what Shmuel held like. Avud Shmuel held like. He holds like Rav Huna. So Gemara says, lo, he doesn't hold like Rav Huna. Then why didn't he let his daughter sleep together when they were younger? Sovar, he said, ki hech lo lilfon gufa nuchra. They shouldn't get used to having somebody in their bed with them. And as Rashi says, v'yis avu lishkov imish. And therefore they're going to want to go and be with a man. And therefore he didn't want to set them up for this comfort level that they'll have by sleeping in a bed with somebody else. Number three, v'avilu mikvah b'yomi nisan. He made for them a mikvah. He didn't let them go and immerse themselves in the pras during the month of Nisan. He let them do that in Tishrei with the mats, as we said, but he didn't let them go and immerse themselves, which was a perfectly kosher mikvah, in the pras during the month of Nisan. Why not? So this is Masai Lila Rav. It must be that Avu Dishmuel holds like the opinion of Rav. What is that? The Amar Rav, Mitra b'marava, when there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, Sada, the proof to that is Rava pras, that the pras gets very, very enlarged. Because in this situation, the pras is going to be filled up with all the rains from Eretz Yisrael. And the mountain is snows, and they're all going to melt. And this is going to be, over here, clear proof that there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says the people in Bava would be very happy for their colleagues in Eretz Yisrael. But Shmuel was concerned, Sovar, Avud Shmuel was concerned, Sovar, Shlo Yirbu Hanotvin Al HaZochlin. There is a din that you're only allowed to go into moving waters if they're from a mayan, if they're from a well, a spring, like a river. And that is allowed to be moving waters. That can work. But in Ashborin, a bor, a mikvah, must be absolutely stayed. It must be perfectly still water. That's why in the mikvahs, they make sure that they're very placid very well, so none of the water should be leaking out, so it's not considered zochalin. So Avu Dishmuel was concerned that if you have over here rainwater, that's going to actually be more than the river water, and therefore it wouldn't be allowed to be moving. So therefore, he was concerned, Shelo, others have the Girsa Shema, Rashi has the Girsa Shema, Yarbu Hanotvin Ala Zochlin, you'll have actually more rainwater than you'll have river water, and then it can't be moving. And therefore, he made a separate mikvah on the side for his daughters to go and be tovols in that mikvah. Now, this statement of Avu Dishmuel was like Rav is actually a plea of Shmuel, and it argues with his own son, with Shmuel, because Shmuel, it said, Yom Shmuel, Nara Mikipe Nivrach, every river is actually getting its source of water from its wells, from its underground sources, and not from the rainwater. And therefore, there's no concern. So Shmuel said, not like his father, Shmuel said, there is no concern. But Shmuel seems to disagree with himself. Opliga didei adidei. Shmuel seems to have said elsewhere differently. He seems to have held elsewhere like Rav. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says elsewhere that ein hamayim mitarin bezochlin ela pras biyomei tishrei bilvad. The only time that you can go in the rivers over here, because we're concerned the rest of the time that there's more rainwater than the spring source water, is during the month of Tishrei when there are no rains. So therefore, in this situation, we can only guarantee in Tishrei that it will be mostly river water and Zochlin is not a problem. So elsewhere, Shmuel seems to hold like Rav, but there seems to be a steer over here in what Shmuel's opinion was. Then we said, Porefes alo evin v'chule. We said that you're allowed to go out l'chatchila with this type of a cloak that has a string on one side and some sort of a button, like a stone or a walnut or a coin on the other side. And it said you're allowed to do that l'chatchila. But then it said at the end, but only if you didn't do it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Amar Reisha Porefes. He says you're allowed to. So how can you have a steer now and tell me you're not allowed to? So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, no. Seifa is when we said that you can't do this unless you did it before Shabbos, Asan L'Matbeya. That's only talking about the coin. What's the reasoning for that? So Rashi explains over here that the Matbeya is Lav Bar Tiltulhu. The coin is totally Muktzah. You have no use for a coin on Shabbos, and therefore it's totally out of your mind. And therefore, unless you were designating it before Shabbos by using it as a button before Shabbos or on a permanent basis, so then it's muktzah. But a stone? Well, stone, you can designate for this. A stone doesn't have an intrinsic value. So normally it's muktzah. But if you designate it as a button or if you're using it as a button, so then it's not muktzah. And therefore, there's a difference between a coin and a stone. So the coin must be done beforehand. or you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. But the stone you would be allowed to. Can a woman go and do a trick over here to go and bring an egos from a house out to her little child in the Rishus HaRabim via using the egos over here as the button to attach her cloak, and then when she gets there, she takes it off and gives it to her child to eat? Are you allowed to do this or not? So Gemara says, Tiboy Laman Diomar Marimim, and some of the gears over here, Marimim Bidleika, and Tiboy Laman Diomar E Marimim Bidleika. Now, this is the Gemara later on. We're going to have, Rashi points out over here, this is a Pluksa in Kol Kisvi HaKodesh, on Daf Kuf Chav, that a person, Rahman Salam, there's a fire, so one opinion says, Divrei Reb Meir, that you're allowed to go out, Lovish Kol Mashiach Lubosh, Divrei Reb Meir, you can put on as many clothes as you want, and go out from the place where the fire is to the place where it will be safe. Even Afilu Asar Chalukim Zal, even you're wearing 10 coats, one on top of the other, it's not a problem. And Riosi said, no, you're only allowed to wear the regular weekday clothing to get out from that house, but you can't go put on excessive amounts of clothing. So this is Marimin. So Rav Meir certainly says you're not intending to wear 10 coats right now, you just don't, you want them to be safe from the fire. So Rav Meir says you're allowed to be Marimin Bidleika, and Rav Yossi says you're not. So our Gemara says that you can ask this question, can the woman go out with the walnut, Tiboy Leman Diyama Marimin, according to Rav Meir, and Tiboy Leman Diyama Ein Marimin, it could be the same achlokis, according to Rav Yossi. What is that? Tiboy Leman Diyama Marimin Midleika, according to Rav Meir, who says by the Dleika you can put on 10 clothing, that's only over there. Hossam, who? In that situation, we allowed it. The Elo Sharisle Asi Lechabuye. Because if you don't let him do this because of the bilbul, because of this concern about losing all his clothing, he's going to put out the fire. That would be an Issa Deraisa. So better to let him do this, which would only be an Issa Derabanan. The rabbis weren't gozered over here to wear 10 sets of clothing at the same time. That's why you're allowed to be Marim with Leika. But over here with the walnut, what's going to happen? If we say, no, you can't use this, so the woman's not going to carry the walnut. Avalhocha, by the walnut, ilo sharisle, if we don't allow her to carry the walnut out in this fashion by using it as the button, lo asilafuki, she won't carry it. So maybe we shouldn't let her do it. So you can ask this question according to Rav Meir, and likewise, you can ask this question even according to Rav Yossi. Odilma, afilu man diyama ema rima midleika, even according to Rav Yossi, says you're not allowed to go wear 10 different pairs of clothing, one on top of the other. You only wear the regular clothing that you wear on a weekday. Nevertheless, over there, awesome. That's what the reason why Rav Yossi said you can't do this, because that's normal wearing it. And that's why we're afraid that you're going to come to carry it. Avohacha, in our case with the walnut, ain't derech hotzah bekach. It's not normal to carry a walnut out in this fashion. And therefore, emosh abadami. Therefore, even if you hold, you normally can't be marim, maybe over here you could. So this question can be asked going to Rav Meir, this question can be asked going to Rav Yossi, and we don't give an answer to either one. Teku. We leave this as an ibaya to lo pishitolei. With this, we conclude today's shiur.